Hey there, it's Ariel Helwani, one-third of the fastest-growing show in combat sports.
I'm Chuck Mendenhall.
And I'm P.T. Carroll, and together we are 3PAC.
Join us on the Spotify Live app after every UFC pay-per-view and become a part of the best community in mixed martial arts.
Or, if you can't make it, check out the Ringer MMA Show podcast exclusively on Spotify.
See you then. Love yous.
This episode of the Ringer NFL Show is presented by State Farm. Create an affordable price just for you when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with the personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Hyundai. Think about all the stuff you can do now on Sundays after the Super Bowl's over. Adventurous activities. You need a Hyundai to get you there. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped for any adventure with features like available H-Track, all-wheel drive. You can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com.
Welcome to the Ringer NFL Show. My name is Danny Heifetz, and I am joined by Stephen Ruiz. And we are counting down the days until the NFL season kicks off on September 8th. And today, Stephen and I are going to talk about the most divisive topic that has come up in our preseason NFL discussions here at the Ringer. And that most divisive question is this. Stephen, the Bengals made the Super Bowl last season, but do you think the Bengals will make the playoffs in 2022?
We're starting off hot. The tough questions first. Short answer is no. I don't think I'm going to predict them to make the playoffs. But I think there's a lot of explanation that goes beyond that. I think they're going to be a better team compared to the team they were in 2020. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, but we're going to explain that today.
I actually agree with you. And I think people think we're crazy. Like, I'm sure people listening think we're nuts. I mean, my co-hosts in the Fantasy Football Show, Craig Horlbeck and Danny Kelly, think I'm insane. Bill Simmons said we were crazy. Basically, they just came off the Super Bowl. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow are incredible. The Bengals made their offensive line better this offseason. Why would the Bengals not be better this year? Or I guess you're saying they will be, but they'll miss anyway.
Yeah, I just think there's too many regression factors working against them. They got a lot of breaks to make the Super Bowl. When you're a 10-7 team and you're a wild card team, well, they won their division, but they're playing on the wild card weekend. You need breaks to make the Super Bowl. And going into the last 6 weeks of the season, including the postseason, no one was viewing them as Super Bowl contenders. They were like 9-6. I think they were third or second in the AFC North, which a banged up AFC North. Even the Steelers, who stayed relatively healthy, weren't the same Steelers we're used to, just because Ben Roethlisberger wasn't the same player. And then when you look at other factors like injuries, they were very lucky. They stayed healthy and their opponents were more injured than any other team in the NFL. This is a stat from Football Outsiders. If you look at adjusted games lost, the gap between that, they were first in terms of opponent adjusted games lost. The gap between them and second place was as big as the gap between second place and 16th place. So they were just on another level.
Wait. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So the people they were playing each week were the most injured opponents in the entire league.
Yeah, by a wide margin. That's not sustainable. And those are things that are out of their control, obviously. So I don't think they're going to catch those same breaks. And it's not just the injuries, it's field goals too. Like, their opponents missed a number of field goals. The difference between their field goals and the opponent's field goals was -9.9. That was like one of the biggest marks in the league. It was second to the Patriots. And that's also a thing that doesn't carry over year to year. So those are like just free points right there, plus the injuries. And I don't think it's a coincidence that this team was really struggling in the first half, not struggling, but mediocre. And then in the second half, they took off. When do injuries usually start to matter? When do they start to pile up? The second half of the season. And this, like, they played the Ravens in the second half when the Ravens were down to like their 10th cornerback. And unsurprisingly, the Bengals dropped like 50 points on them.
I completely agree with you. I think a Bengals fan would probably be screaming right now that in the first 14 weeks of the season, they had like 19 turnovers. And then their final eight games, including the playoffs, they had two. But also, that's really hard to do, to just have two turnovers in the final eight. Like, to your point, their schedule last year, like Warren Sharp, the adjusted schedule, strength of schedule, it was like the second easiest, I think, in the entire league. And this year, it's going to be the 26th hardest schedule, or the 26th easiest. Like 32-1, I get backward. It's so the 26th hard, yeah. easiest, and last year they were the second. That's a huge, it's the biggest difference in the entire league year over year. And like, that's not an accident. That's the price of going worst to first in the NFL. The way right. the NFL schedule works is you play the other last place teams. It's like you play your division six times, you play a division each conference, and then the other teams are rounded out by like, so basically they're playing like the Chiefs last year because they were in the AFC West, and they're playing like all these other first place teams. Whereas the year before when they were in last place schedule, they had the worst teams. So I just look at the Bengals and I'm like, everything went right for them last year and they had 10 wins. And then you look at a team like the Ravens and everything went wrong for the Ravens. And the Ravens had 8 wins. And the Ravens were like the most injured team in the league. Right. If you don't look at everywhere except quarterback.
Yeah. And beyond that, like even in the playoffs, I mean, they're a goal line stand away from losing to the Raiders at home on wild card weekend. And then the next week they needed a Ryan Tannehill, just a meltdown, 3 interceptions, just a terrible game from him.
And they gave up 9 sacks in a playoff game and won. I don't think that had ever happened before.
And it required a last second field goal too. And then you need Patrick Mahomes to play the worst half of his life. And I give a lot of credit to the defense for making that happen. But there were some plays where like the first interception, it's a screen pass and he just throws it right to a defender. That's not really like good scheme or good defense. It's just a boneheaded play by Patrick Mahomes. So it took a lot of breaks to get where they were, and I think it's going to be hard for them to get back there. Now, having said that, there are a lot of areas of improvement. So the question is, are those areas of improvement going to outweigh the regression factors we just talked about? And that's the key with them getting back to the postseason. For me, it is a young team, and Bengals fans will tell you that. We were a young team. We came on in the second half, and we expect to carry that momentum over into this year. There's just no precedent for that being a thing. Like Football Outsiders has been adamant about that. Just because you were good in the second half doesn't mean you're going to carry that over. So in order for Cincinnati to improve on what they did last year, I think they have to buck a lot of historical trends.
But part of me hates this conversation, I'm not going to lie, because we're talking about like, there's nothing worse than like, well, they have Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, but you know, math and regression. And it's kind of the most annoying form of analysis. I don't think that we have to even talk about regression. I mean, that is what we're talking about. Basically, like you're probably not going to be the most injured team and your schedule's harder. But can I just go through their schedule with you? Like to give an idea of I really think it sounds like a hot take to say the Bengals might miss the playoffs, but this is their schedule. Obviously they play their own division. So that means Ravens twice, Steelers twice, Browns twice. They have a week 10 bye. Before their bye, they have to go to Dallas and they have to go to the Saints. And then can I read you Cincinnati's schedule after their week 10 bye?
Yeah, do it.
At Pittsburgh, who, for whatever you say, was the playoff team last year. At Tennessee, who was the number one seed in the AFC last year. Now we're in December. Kansas City, Cleveland, at Tampa Bay, at New England, at Buffalo. In January, they're at Buffalo, Baltimore. So in their final 8 games, they're playing 6 playoff teams, and the other 2 games are divisional games.
That's brutal. They have no margin for error in the first half of the season. None whatsoever.
Exactly.
None whatsoever. It's tough. The NFL's tough.
They have to basically start 6-2 to like be in pole position for the playoffs, because you can't expect to go in that final 8-game stretch and come out 6-2. So again, I think that that's just the point. Also, the AFC is loaded. That's the other piece of this. The AFC is so popular. There's so many good teams in the AFC. I mean, again, if we kind of just can put, we slot in the Bills in the AFC East. If we slot in, maybe this is non-fair, but we slot in the Chiefs in the AFC West and, you know, let's say the Colts or the Titans in the AFC South. We're talking about, I mean, the Patriots, the Dolphins, the Browns, the Steelers, the Bengals, the Titans, the Raiders, the Broncos, the Chargers. 5 of those teams are missing the playoffs. So even though it sounds like a hot take with the Bengals, I mean, 2 or 3 really good AFC teams have to miss this year.
Yeah. And just getting bad breaks is enough to do it. Like, say Joe Burrow rolls his ankle one game and misses 2 pivotal games. Like that's enough in the AFC to miss out on the playoffs. We are being very negative. I think we should like steer it to a positive direction and talk about the areas of improvement that I think we could see. Cause I think Joe Burrow he was a second year player and really like he only had half a rookie season. There's been a lot of talk about him being a superstar, being elite, but there's a lot of room to grow for him. And I think we're going to see that show up in the sack department. I think that's more important, like his progress, than the acquisitions they made this offseason, which I think were good and necessary, but I don't think it changed their terrible offensive line into one of the best in the league. I think it turned their terrible offensive line into an average one.
So those acquisitions, they signed Lyle Collins to be the right tackle, probably, who is Cowboys' right tackle. They got Ted Karras, and they got Alex Kappa. Alex Kappa was one of the guards for the Buccaneers. And so they basically kind of changed up really almost their entire offensive line. I would say probably improved at every position. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
So why do you think Joe Burrow being more comfortable is more important than actually getting him a line? I think Joe Burrow was, along with David Carr for the expansion Texans, the only quarterback to be sacked 70 times in a season, including the playoffs. So why is improving the line? You're like, you sound unimpressed by this.
No, it's not that. I just think that Joe Burrow, like, this is the next step in his development, is that pre-snap phase. I do think he was like in charge of calling out the protections, which is very impressive for a second year player, and not surprising given his like pre-draft scouting report. He was billed as like a smart player, but he missed some things. Like, when you're a second year player, you're going to miss some looks. You're going to maybe slide the protection the wrong way. Like, the Bengals had a lot of free rushers. You can't put free rushers totally on the offensive line. The quarterback has to know where the pressure is coming from. And I think that's one area where Joe Burrow needs to improve if he's going to be like that Tom Brady style field general type. Because that was the big deal with this offense. They relied on explosives. And I don't think they relied on explosives because they were bad at like taking the layups. I think it was because of all those sacks. Like, it's hard to string together a 12 play drive when it's getting disrupted by a sack and turning and putting you in like second and 15.
That's funny you mentioned. Can I read you a Joe Burrow quote?
Let's hear it.
I think that that's actually really instructive, because first of all, that makes sense about the free rusher thing. I could be wrong. I think I saw a stat that said the Bengals had the most free rushers of any team. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah, it was by a wide margin too.
It was by a lot. Yeah, yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. So the Joe Burrow quote, if I can pull it up, he said, someone basically said what you just said about taking sacks, blaming the offensive line, like I did earlier. And Burrow said, here's the thing about sacks. There's good sacks and there's bad sacks. You look at the stats. Yeah, I got sacked a lot. But you look at when they happened, and he says, third down sacks. Who cares about third down sacks? I'm going to try to extend the play as long as I can to get the first down. On third down, unless I'm in field goal range, then I'll throw the ball away and get some points. And his point was, so when you hear that, do you think that the sack thing is overrated? Or do you think that, is he just standing up for his offensive line?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think he's totally right. Like, there are good sacks. There's a good time to take a sack. And I would say third down is one of them. But I do think a lot of those sacks happen on first and second down too, and they disrupted drives, which is why some of their efficiency metrics, like, for instance, they were a mediocre team by DVOA, because DVOA puts a lot of emphasis on down-to-down consistency. So those sacks really mattered. They still had a high sack rate on first and second down. So it wasn't just a third down sack thing. And beyond the protection thing, like Joe Burrow seeing things pre-snap, when he was under pressure, I think he took the highest rate of sacks in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. So he wasn't really escaping pressure as much as, like, when you watch his highlights, you see him scrambling and making a play on the run. But a lot of times those pressure dropbacks turned into those sacks. So I think it's also him kind of finding the perfect middle ground between being that playmaker who's willing to hold onto the ball to let his receivers get open and just throwing it away sometimes to keep a drive alive.
So what's the version of this where the people who right now think we're idiots, the version of this where we are idiots, where the Bengals are incredible, the Bengals are the number one seed in the AFC, they get like 14, 15 wins, and the Bengals offense is incredible. What improvements does Joe Burrow make as a quarterback this season over last season that makes you, like, what turns the Bengals into a Death Star offense with Burrow improvement?
I think those that I've covered already. And then when we're recording this, the Mike Sando piece came out today, the quarterback tiers. And there's a quote from, I don't know like what his job title is, but there's an anonymous quote in there. And he talks about how if you change the picture after the snap, like, it hurts Burrow. Like, he hasn't really caught up in that aspect of his game. And I think that's another step he has to take, is being able to adjust post-snap based on the look. He's getting a one look pre-snap. Sometimes they'll disguise the coverage and rotate to another coverage. And that still gives him a little bit of trouble, that's not like a criticism. He's a second year quarterback, and that stuff's going to come with experience. But I think that's another vital step he needs to take, along with like the pass protection, calling out, like pointing out the mic and doing all that correctly. If he takes those two steps, then disregard everything we've said on this podcast, because I think their offense will take a massive leap, and it will look like the offense we saw late in the season. Now, if it's just like baby steps in those areas, now I think you put the onus on the defense to kind of carry over that momentum they had in the playoffs. because the defense really carried them to the Super Bowl. Their offense was okay during the playoffs, but it was their defense that really stepped up and carried them. And I don't know if that's going to happen again. Like, as a group, there's a decent amount of talent there and they look like a good unit, but there's not a lot of like star power. So I don't know if we can say, yeah, that defense is definitely going to be as good as it was in the postseason last year.
And their defense was also really healthy last year. And those groups that put together by free agency, it's hard for them to stick together year by year, or year over year, rather.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state. This episode is brought to you by Hyundai. Think about all the stuff you can do now on Sundays after the Super Bowl's over. Adventurous activities. You need a Hyundai to get you there. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped for any adventure with features like available H-Track, all-wheel drive. You can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com.
This episode is brought to you by Modelo. What does a true fan look like? It's cheering the loudest. It's never missing a game, no matter what. And for that, you deserve an ice cold reward because you are a fighter and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Shop delivery or pickup options near you at ordermodelo.com. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
So with all this said, the Bengals, just to win the AFC North, the Ravens are slight favorites over the, but the Ravens are the favorite team to win the AFC North on FanDuel Sportsbook, plus 170, which basically means like a 38% chance. The Bengals are plus 185, which basically means like a 36% chance. The Browns are like plus 260, which is like 25% basically. Steelers are plus 1,000, which is like 10%. With those odds, which team would you... Which do you think is the best bet to win the division?
I still say the Ravens. Even with them being the favorites, I just think they're the best team on paper. And what happened last year isn't going to happen this year. Their whole roster isn't going to get decimated. It happened before the season and it just continued on into the season. They're not going to have to play their 10th string defensive back in a key divisional game. At least I don't think. If they
do, they lost three running backs before week one. I mean, when other than like a team losing its quarterback, like how can you get more injured than they were last year? But wider AFC, so just in terms of winning the conference, or actually, no, let's just stick with making the playoffs here. The Bengals are minus 144 to make, basically, Vegas is saying they have a 60% chance to make the playoffs, 45% chance to not make it because they take a cut, so it doesn't add up to 100. Would you be betting on, no, the Bengals would not make the playoffs at basically like a 1.2 to 1 payout?
Yeah, I definitely would. I definitely would. I would not be surprised by like a 9-8 season. And we look back at it at this time next year and we're like, oh, the Bengals, they took a step back, but I think they're going to take a massive step forward in 2023. I think that could totally happen. We see it all the time. I forget what it's called. The plexiglass theory. I think Football Outsiders coined
it. Oh, yeah. Worst to first. And then it's like you have to fall down because concept of going worst to first meant you probably hit your ceiling of outcomes. And it's hard to do that. It's unlikely to do that multiple times in a row. I also think there's a bigger picture of like the AFC where Riley McAtee, one of our NFL editors here, pointed this out, where basically the AFC has so many good quarterbacks now. You've got Josh Allen, you've got Lamar Jackson, you've got Joe Burrow, you've got Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert. That's seven quarterbacks. Realistically, one of them is going to miss the playoffs at least every year. And so you kind of, it sounds hot takey, but it's like, no, they're not all going to make the playoffs. And I think that this year, the way it's stacked up, the Bengals schedule, it wouldn't shock me at all. And I actually probably am going to throw down this bet on FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah, I totally agree. I know Bengals fans are going to take this as like a slight against them and they're going to say we're hating, but it's just a rational thought in my mind. I don't know. I think they're going to be a better team, and I think all the improvements will pay off, and I think they're headed in the right direction, and they're going to be a factor in this division and conference for the next 10 years. I just think there are a lot of things working against them for this particular season.
Okay, we'll see. And also, Bengals fans, if this pissed you off, you can clip this. You can send it to Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. They can use it as motivation. And then when they make the playoffs, they can thank us for the inspiration. How does that sound?
Yeah, they can clip it. We'll take the attention on Twitter. Any attention is good.
Perfect. All right, you're welcome, Bengals fans. Okay, thank you, Steven. Thank you, Chris Sutton, for producing this episode. Ringer NFL Show, counting down to the September 8th kickoff for this coming season. Thank you, Steven. And again, once again, you are welcome to everyone in Cincinnati. Congrats on making the playoffs or not.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.